afraid, yet filled with joy. We meet in verse 8 of our reading this evening. Mary and Mary, afraid, yet filled with joy. And it's not how that Sunday morning had begun for Mary and Mary. Perhaps just even less than an hour before, things have been very different. As the sun was beginning to break through on the horizon line, as the dawn of that Sunday morning began, we're told that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. I guess you can kind of imagine that their walk there would have been a slow one. I guess there wouldn't have been much to talk about. It would have been a silent one. They would have been empty. They'd have been numb. I guess looking around the room, there are many of you who will perhaps know better than me just what it is to feel that emptiness, that numbness when somebody you love dies. They go to look at the tomb. It's almost as if they just need something to do. Maybe they're going because they just need to check. Is this real? Has this really happened? Is this just a horrible accident? A massive mistake? And yet 6 verses later, Mary and Mary don't seem to be walking slowly anymore, do they? They're running quickly. I doubt they're silent anymore. It seems their numbness has given way to an extreme of emotions. Their emptiness has been filled with this mix of fear and joy. So we read in verse 8, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. They ran to tell his disciples. So much is packed into those verses between Mary and Mary first arriving at the tomb and them running to tell their disciples, their friends. It's a violent earthquake. There's an angel of the Lord so bright you couldn't stare straight at him. The stone in front of Jesus' tomb is rolled away as if it was a pebble that you could flip. Roman guards frozen in fear. The tomb empty for Mary and Mary to see. And this mission given to them to complete. And yet, all of that can be summed up in those 3 really precious Easter Sunday words. Words the angel said to both Marys. He is risen. Afraid, yet filled with joy. Of course they were. This is their mountaintop moment. Earthquakes, angels, death being defeated. Not holding a newborn, but it's a speaking of new life, Jesus back to life. They've been given a task to do. They've got a new job. Of course they're afraid, yet filled with joy. They're afraid. They've had more terrifying things happen to them before breakfast than I've had in my lifetime. And yet they're carrying this joy. Jesus? Alive? Death's been undone and done away with? You mean death isn't the end of the story? Afraid yet filled with joy. But I wonder if that those 5 words, afraid yet filled with joy, don't just describe us if we were climbing up some bit of rock in North Wales or holding a newborn baby or starting a new job. What do those 5 words actually describe us or many of us here this evening? Afraid yet filled with joy. Of course there's joy. For the Christian, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence of the Spirit at work in your life. Joy is the mark of a follower of Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples in John 15 about them having his joy, and because of that, they would have joy and complete joy, fullness of joy. If you've been with us in the evenings, we've been going through Philippians, Paul talks about coming to minister to them for their progress and their joy in the faith. Joy in the Christian life isn't that everything goes to plan, isn't that we get everything that we think we want. Joy is this settled contentment and confidence that we receive from Jesus. And it takes root deep, deep in our lives, in our souls. And sometimes that joy bubbles up to the surface. So on a day like today, on Easter Sunday, it pops up, doesn't it? Death is defeated. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. We have the hope of the resurrection. We have the hope of life in the new creation that's to come. And yet at the end of an Easter Sunday, it's easy for that just to begin to fade because there's this thing called Monday morning coming. And even for those of us like me who have tomorrow off, it's very likely there's going to be another Monday morning and another one. You see, between Easter Sunday and that horizon line of when we go to be with Jesus or Jesus returns, there's this gap. And this gap so easily fills with fear. Fear is a very present reality for many of us. I think it was in 2019, there was a large global survey done. So this is before the COVID pandemic. And out of thousands and thousands and thousands of respondents, they discovered that one of the central aspects of the experience of life of young adults, particularly around the world, was anxiety. The demands of life for each of us at any stage of life, I guess, feel quite demanding and at times they'll feel overwhelming. How about just navigating our way through the culture that we live in? I don't know about you, it feels complicated, it feels exhausting. How do we talk well to each other? How do we describe each other? How do we make sense of who we are? We're in an age where we're more connected than ever before, and yet we seem more distant. Trust, well, that feels hard to come by, doesn't it? In our institutions, in our leaders, maybe even in ourselves. And then what's ahead? Well, it feels uncertain, doesn't it? Whether it feels uncertain financially, whether it feels uncertain about the climate, or just the political situation in different places around the world. Do you not see? We are afraid, yet we're filled with joy. And so this evening, I want to encourage us to hear those three life-changing words from the angel. He is risen. And for those to begin to starve our fears and feed our joy. Not just because it's Easter Sunday, but because there's Monday morning tomorrow. And because of that gap between Easter Sunday and Jesus' return. And so what did that look like for Mary and Mary that first Easter Sunday morning? Well, three things. How did they starve their fear? How did they feed their joy? They worshipped Jesus. They received reassurance. And they went and told. So we starve our fear and we feed our joy by worshipping Jesus. Verse 9 we read, suddenly, of course it's sudden, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, they clasped his feet and worshipped him. No longer do Mary and Mary just have the message that Jesus is risen. They have the resurrected Jesus right in front of them. It's not a figment of their imagination. They're holding onto his feet. Jesus' body is very much a real thing. In fact, Jesus' resurrected body is more real than our bodies are today. Because we read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians that what is perishable becomes clothed with what's imperishable. The mortal with what is immortal. But the thing is, Mary and Mary don't clasp hold of Jesus' feet because they're trying to go, are you real? They clasp hold of his feet because they're worshipping him. They don't hug him because they're already on the floor, on their knees. They worship Jesus. We starve our fear, we feed our joy by worshipping Jesus. There's been earthquakes. There's an angel. Death has been defeated. The resurrection is the declaration, the powerful declaration that Jesus is not just anybody. He's the Son of God, and he's the one to be worshipped. We hear that and we go, yes, but that was then. This is now. We don't have Jesus standing in front of us. It's going to be harder, right? Maybe we need to be reminded again what Jesus says to his disciples in John 16. He says to them, it's going to be better for you that I go away, that I'm not here. why? How could that be true? We're going, why? How could that be true? Because it meant that they received the Holy Spirit. It means we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who continues to fill the life of every Christian believer today. You see, the risen Jesus briefly beside you is one thing. The permanent presence of the risen Jesus inside your life through the Holy Spirit, well, that's another thing altogether. We've already sung this evening. Now, I have resurrection power living on the inside. Isn't that remarkable? All the Holy Spirit loves to do, everything the Holy Spirit he does, draws attention to Jesus. See, we starve our fears, we feed our joys by worshipping Jesus. And I suspect, looking around, most of us have had it drummed into us that worship is more than what we do when we gather together on a Sunday. It involves everything we do. It involves everything we are. Putting God in first place. Going all in for Jesus. And yes, it is. Absolutely. Some of us know that. Others of us are learning that. But I think what we see with Mary and Mary here is that there are moments we need to allow the risen Jesus to interrupt what we are doing, to grab all of our attention, and that we will respond like Mary and Mary do, with our minds, with our emotions, with our bodies. There might only be one Easter morning each year, but every morning can be a morning when we open the Bible and hear Jesus spoken of. We can't clasp onto Jesus' feet, but we can hold tightly to those things each day we hear of him. Let those things captivate you, delight you, at times overwhelm you. There might only be one Easter Sunday each year, but you know what? Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. Every Sunday is a powerful declaration that Jesus really is the Son of God to be worshipped. We gather together because we're not supposed to do that on our own. We don't just come when there's nothing better to do. We make it that unmissable appointment. We starve our fear. We feed our joy when we worship Jesus. We starve our fear. We feed our joy when we receive reassurance. Mary, Mary, they go to the tomb. They're not the only ones there. Verse 2 tells us this lightning colored angel is there, but also verse 4, so were some Roman guards. And that lightning bright angel is totally terrifying. Think about it. Here is a messenger from God reflecting something of God's glory. And the Roman guards, what do? They are frozen in fear as if they were dead, it says. That's a picture of what it's like to encounter God in his glory by ourselves. Those Roman soldiers are a glimpse of what might be to come for those around us who don't know Jesus. But notice how things are different for Mary and Mary. They're not frozen. They're not as if they were dead. The angel is still totally terrifying. They know it. The angel knows it. So verse 5, the angel says, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you were looking for Jesus who was crucified." You see, when we belong to Jesus, things turn out very differently. Notice how Mary and Mary, instead of being frozen and being as if dead, they receive reassurance. Don't be afraid, the angel says. They have no reason to fear. Why? Because they're looking for Jesus. When they suddenly meet Jesus, Jesus simply says, "Greetings. Hello." I don't know about you. Sometimes I feel like that's such a disappointing way to start the conversation. If it was me, if I'd been raised from the dead, I would hide behind a corner at least and jump out and go, "Boo!" But Jesus doesn't do that because actually his hello says something. He's greeting Mary and Mary as friends. He reassures them, "Do not be afraid." And look how Jesus describes the disciples. He says, "Go and tell my brothers." We starve our fears and feed our joy when we receive reassurance. That reassurance that we're safe in Jesus. That Jesus calls us friend. That Jesus is our true older brother. That Jesus is the one who came to find us. That Jesus is the one who laid down his life for us. That Jesus is the one who took the punishment for our sins on the cross. That Jesus died the death that should be ours. And because Jesus has been raised to life and we belong to him, we have been raised with him. We starve our fears, we feed our joy by receiving reassurance this evening. If you belong to Jesus, you have no need to fear. You have been raised with Christ. That life begins now and it reaches through and beyond our death. We starve our fear and feed our joy by worshiping Jesus, by receiving reassurance, and by going and telling. Mary and Mary, weren't they? They were commissioned by the angel of the Lord and by Jesus to go tell the disciples that he was risen. And twice they're told, and that he'll meet them in Galilee. And the weeks after the resurrection, we hear about how Jesus spent time in Jerusalem. But there was also this trip to Galilee. And Matthew has Galilee as the finish line of his gospel. Why? Well, Galilee, that was the place Jesus had promised before he died, that after he'd been raised, he'd meet them there. The resurrection of Jesus is Jesus keeping his promise. Galilee was where Jesus' ministry began, Matthew chapter 4. So the resurrection of Jesus is a promise of a new start, of a restart. And Galilee was a place filled with all kinds of people. It's called Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee of the nations. The resurrection of Jesus, you see, is good news for every kind of person, wherever they come from. And it is in Galilee that a few verses later, Jesus says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. We starve our fear and feed our faith by going and telling. We continue in this long line of going and telling. It said, if you want to really grow as a Christian, go and tell somebody about Jesus. I love this evening that the lights behind me have been changed to green. I'm quite sure it's the right liturgical colour for the season, but I'm fine with that. Green means go. We go and tell. Whether we're aware of it or not, our words, our actions, our life tell a story. So why not let our words, our lives, our actions tell the story of the risen Jesus? The resurrection of Jesus is the message a dying, fearful world needs to hear. And do you know what? It's a message that might be received better than we expect. The Talking Jesus survey in 2022 found out that 45% of the UK population would tick a box to say they believe in the resurrection. 45%. So we might not be persuading people that Jesus really did rise from the dead. Instead, we're trying to make the risen Jesus unignorable, unmissable, unavoidable. And one of the ways we're doing that as a church is in just over a week's time on Tuesday the 9th of April at 7:30 in Cafe 55, we've got Christianity Explored. And maybe that'd be a good thing for you to go to if you're feeling like, actually, yeah, I want to go and tell people about the risen Jesus, but I just feel I need a bit of equipping. Or maybe you've got a friend who you want to bring along. You've been praying for weeks, months, years. Invite them. And if you're like me, maybe you need to starve your fear and feed your joy because it's possible that it might be me, it might be you, who's more hesitant to do the inviting than the person you invite is hesitant to come. We are afraid, yet filled with joy. He is risen. Let's starve our fear. Let's feed our joy. Let's worship Jesus. Let's receive his reassurance. Let's go and tell.